All right, I want to talk to you about Gospels. And I want to talk to you about it in the light. The foundation, of course, is the Gospel of God. That is a capital G when I write it like that. I know you guys, that's not disrespectful. Some people think that's a J when I'm writing cursive, but that's a J. I know. No big deal. I know the difference. These are the books of John. I can't do them backwards, so. And every one of these come in some degree before Jesus ever even shows up. That's very important because they are, you know, we talked about the baptism and about the preaching a little bit. And that's very, very important because they are preaching something that has a continuum in it. And it is very important. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And I thought about this in the fact that what people think. People want to invent religion. That has really been the problem ever since Cain. They just make it up. Just whatever. And I want you to see some of the things. I said Matthew 3, but let's start in Matthew 1 for a minute. We're going to Matthew. Hey, how are you? I'm better than I deserve. Thanks for coming. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save, what? Boy, that terminology is big. I would definitely highlight, underline, score something in my Bible about his people from their sins. And I would put out there Zechariah 13, verse 1, and Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and 69. That's what I would do if I was a Bible student. I would write his people, that's Israel, Zechariah 13, 1, and Luke 1, 68 and 69. You got it? All right, go to chapter 3. Chapter 2 deals with the star. And by the way, Herod is trying to find the young child. He's not trying to find a baby. Kind of a misnomer in the Christmas story, I guess. Kind of a problematic. I will probably, if you guys would like to go over, we are probably in the week of Jesus' birth right now. End of September. 1st of October. And it's provable, almost down to a day. And I've done this a couple times, but I'll do it again. Just so you're not disappointed, I don't make a big deal out of Christmas here. It's not that I don't like Santa Claus. You can have all the Santa Claus you want. Put up a big tree. I don't care. That's between you and the Lord. But when you look at this stuff and you look at the dates and all the things they're doing, it's quite fascinating what's actually happening. I'm just telling you. And, so I don't make a big deal, so don't get frantic if we don't have a Christmas party. It's probably going to be okay. I want you to read in verse 8. Well, Herod. Then Herod called privately unto the wise men, verse 7, and inquired them diligently of the time of the star what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and say, go and search diligently the what? The young child. Notice that. It didn't say a baby. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Well, you can just hear Satan's words in that, can't you? I mean, that's just... And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which stood in the east went before them. That star is not a star as you would see in the sky. It's an angel. And you can look in Revelation 9 about that. But that's an angel. That star isn't a star in some bright light. It's an angel of the Lord. And it came and stood over the young child. It didn't blink down on the young child. It stood. The word is a personification because that's an angel they're talking about. What? Did you sneeze? You're cold, aren't you?
No.
And so all this is happening, and now Jesus, between chapter 2 and chapter 3, goes about 30 years. 28, approximately. Okay? 28 years. Between the end, when he hunts down the baby and he kills all the young children, and the time when John the Baptist is about 28 years in time. You got it? He's entering into his ministry, and when he's baptized, he's 30 years of age. 2 years old, young child, search, 28 years, approximately. Okay? And that's very important because during those 28 years, you don't hear a lot. I mean, he does a couple miracles and things like that and teaches down there. But this is the start in chapter 3. That's why I keep going back to Matthew chapter 3. It is the start of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His earthly ministry to Israel as promised in Luke chapter 1 and on and on. Now, I'm going to start in verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So his proclamation is that Jesus is coming. His proclamation is, this is the Jesus that you'd heard of the prophets. This is the Jesus that your fathers talked diligently about. This is him that is coming on the scene, and I'm making his path straight. Now watch this. Verse 6. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, they're not doing that in relationship with Christ. You understand that John has actually got a ministry going, and he's dunking people in the water, and he's got a ministry going called of the Lord. You with me? He ain't fooling around. This is really dealy stuff, man. This is the start of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And he's out there baptizing as many as he can to identify them with the nation of Israel. That's what he's doing. He's proclaiming the Lord. The Lord isn't even on the scene. And they're water baptizing. Water baptism doesn't necessarily represent... In fact, water baptism will never, ever save you. Period. It would identify you with the nation of Israel. It might identify you as a priest if you lived back then. Not you, but somebody. You know, they wouldn't let a Gentile get near that. This was not in Gentile deal. It's for Israel. Been promised unto the fathers and fathers. In fact, go to Romans 15, a verse we use quite often. Hold on here, we're coming right back. and go to Romans 15. I mean, this is common. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the what? Jesus Christ was the confirmation of those promises. They weren't made to the world. They were promised to Israel. Not you. Israel. And Jesus, when He shows up, He's dealing with Israel. Look in John 1. Dave, no, there was actually water baptism further in the Old Testament. We'll have to go over that, but I don't want to just shed off. It's in Ezekiel. Where did I tell you to turn? John 1. Go verse 11. Jesus very clearly stated, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You got it? Who did Jesus Christ come for? Israel, to do what? Well, to save them, but what else? To be their king and to confirm the promises. That's what He came for. Don't ever lose sight of that. He came to confirm the promises made unto the Father. Well, all those promises were made to the house of Israel, not to you. He didn't make a promise to you in the Old Testament. What would it have been? If you bless Israel, I'll bless you. You curse them, you're going to get it. What happened to Pharaoh? That ought to teach you not to curse. Oogla. You got it? You got it? Do what? Goliath is another one. You know, David stands up there and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Little short 5-foot David. Giant. Do you know what?
Goliath had 3 heads.
He did? I don't know. But you know what I do know? You know what I do know? He died. The Amalekites came against him. They all died. He sent out Saul, who didn't even do a good job. And he killed him again. And he utterly destroyed them all except King Agai. God constantly did that for Israel. The ones that cursed Israel, buddy, they got it. Whammy. Whammy. But the ones that blessed, Rahab, Ruth, the Syrophoenician woman, all by blessing. That wasn't anything new, guys. That wasn't a gospel that had been enforced since Genesis chapter 12. And like something new all of a sudden came out of the planet Earth and changed. Jesus Christ, when He comes into this ministry, came in the... Hey! You look silly when you do that. You look like a chicken. Oh, that was obvious. We're in John. I do love that about this man. Why are you defending him?
I just admire his tenacity.
He's just good looking and you like that. I'm telling you.
When you're a football player, you can't get here at 7 o'clock. He has practice, sir.
Yeah. The only reason that JD team's having any luck at all is because he comes here and gets blessed by God.
Amen.
Anyway, back to Matthew chapter 3. So you know, here's John the Baptist proclaiming some great news that the one that's been promised is finally here. I mean, that's before Jesus ever shows up. That's in this portion. That whole section right there. We had nothing really to do with it. The good news was what? What? Kingdom of Heaven is at hand. Why? The King was there. That's why that was good news. The good news is your King's here. And so they receive them. And then probably around verse 16 or 17, Jesus starts His ministry. Look in verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when He was baptized, and by the way, you know, that would just blow away some people's doctrine that says that baptism was to wash away sin. You know what I mean? Because Jesus didn't have any sin. That is not what baptism has to do with. And right there, you ought to get a hold of that. And verse 16 again. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? That Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there is a lot of people that believe that. Amen? I mean, there is a lot of people that believe that. That's great news. In fact, look how it transpires through the passage, the gospel of the kingdom. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Well, I guess 16 would be good. I want Matthew chapter 12. That's what was in my mind. Yes. Verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. But He answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and on and on. Well, what do we know about that? Well, the proof of the gospel of God is what? The resurrection, isn't it? The proof is the resurrection. He'd done all these miracles. John 9, He heals a blind guy. I mean, He's going around laying in and doing all these miracles. But the sign that proves that He's the Son of God would be the sign of the prophet what? Jonas says, Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man. So the gospel of God, even though it started in Matthew 3, doesn't get proved until the resurrection. He could have said everything. But if He didn't resurrect from the dead, no way, no how. You got it? So the gospel, He started proclaiming that I'm the Son of God. But you know what? He gets to a point in Acts 13. Hang on, let me see. Where does it say? My brain is just... Where He says... Give me just a second, maybe it'll come to me. Oh, it's Matthew. I think it's Matthew 16. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 16. But here, He's telling them not to tell them that we're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at this, verse 20. Are y'all there in 16:20? All right. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. At that point, He's not trying to instruct. He's not giving them the good news anymore. You know who He's giving the good news to? His 12 disciples. So somewhere in the middle, around Matthew chapter 12 to 16, from then on out, He ain't proclaiming any good news. He's hiding it. And He's training 12 men. That's what He's doing. He's laying it out. He's given them the course of the new deal, the new covenant, the New Testament. Yes.
Is that what they call the Apostles' Doctrine?
Yes. Very, very good. Have you been studying? Oh, okay. That's good. That's good that you just hear it. What did it just come out of the air? I didn't hear it. That is the Apostles' Doctrine of Acts chapter 2, where they laid it out. See, the point that I'm trying to get to you is even Jesus quits proclaiming what He was. They're not going to believe Him. You know, you get to a place where you just keep talking to people, and eventually, you know what? It's not worth your time. I go back to Matthew 13. Let me show you. I mean, the disciples are a little bit confused. Have all those people. Why don't you get them saved? Why don't you tell them to believe on Me? It's fascinating to me. Matthew 13, y'all there? I'm going to start in verse 1, but really I want 10, 11, and 12 right there. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude. Now, you know, Wade, if you had a great multitude, wouldn't you get up and preach on the cross?
I think
I would do that too. I mean, just, I don't know what a great multitude. It looks like a great multitude here at church tonight. Amen? You guys were shocked when you came in, didn't you? But I imagine when they talk great multitudes, I would imagine in the thousands. Huh? Not that big. Jesus couldn't draw a crowd that big. You got to be a PMA speaker to get that big a crowd. And a great multitude were gathered together onto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up. And because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell upon into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. Now, we have the advantage because we have a King James Bible. We know the end of the story. But I'm going to tell you, the people sitting there on the shore were dumbfounded. I'm telling you, I mean, it's like, oh, Jesus went around saving everybody. Well, He sure blew an opportunity. Amen? I mean, I've never heard people preach on this. I've been going to church all my life. No one ever preached on this. Well, Brother Moore did. That's where I got it. I'm not stealing. I'm just teaching what I heard. But you got the... I mean, those people are dumbfounded. He had a perfect opportunity to lay out a gospel and give them some good news. And you know what he does? He talks in parables. The disciples are dumbfounded. Lord, we have 5,000 people here. What are you doing? Ever heard this preached in any church? That's how it was. The disciples came and said, Lord, we had a big old crowd. What were you doing? Why didn't you lay them out? And He answers them. That was a good question, right? Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? I mean, come on, Lord, you had them here. You could have told them who you were. Why don't you think He did that? They had already rejected him. People don't even get what's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's amazing to me. Hey, read the Bible, have no clue. Read the Bible, ignorant. It's okay to be ignorant, amen? But don't stay that way.
Try to read it like a book instead of like line on line.
And he lays out to them why. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Did he explain everything to Israel? No. You know whose job that is? The 12. And you know what he's doing? He's training 12 men, guys. I can't tell you any clearer. Jesus had the opportunity to preach the gospel, and he himself didn't take him because it wasn't his job at that point. He knew what his job was going to be what? To die. Go to Matthew 16 again. Now, verse 13. Who's going to come help cook our cake? We need help. Any of the girls? It'll only take about an hour and a half. I think you got school in the morning. You better not raise your hand. Plus, you're forsaking me Sunday. I can't even believe you're going. Step into the dens of devils. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Verse 13. When Jesus came onto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for the gospel of God. Look what these people that were on the seashore and those kind of people were. And they said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some Elijah. And others Jeremiah. And or one of the other prophets. Now, stop there for a minute. Did those people on the shore know who he was?
No.
They didn't have a clue. See, when you're lost, you're just blind. Amen? They couldn't see who he was. Even though he did miracles after miracles, even though he showed up on time, even though all that stuff fulfilled prophecy after prophecy, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. They believed he was John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. And so he asked the disciples, because those are the guys he's now training. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got it. You know why? He was telling them. But even Peter doesn't understand everything. Your mother is crazy. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, but the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, upon this rock I will build my church. So his church, the priesthood, everything is going to be built upon this foundation. So what has to happen? Why? Well, you can't whisper. They can't hear you on the internet. Hang on, let's try this again. What's the answer? Okay. Say it out loud, and if you're wrong, you'll just be embarrassed, and if you're right, you'll be rewarded.
Vice versa. It's the proof that he's the Son of God, if he's resurrected.
That's right. So his ministry isn't going to really crank up until after he dies. He knows that. He's not confused. He isn't walking around going, I wonder what's happening. He's on it. In fact, he explains them to them, verse 19, and why they have to get it. This is why they have to get it. Listen to it, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Now listen, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does prevailing mean? Yeah, it's locked. But the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. This church, some of them, are going to go to hell. You got it? There isn't any eternal security here. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says this. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That's quite an authority, amen? He just turned over to Peter some keys that had the capacity, and if I was a good Bible student, I would get my Bible pen out of this part and mark John 20, 21 through 23. That's what I would do if I was a good Bible student. And I'd probably put one other verse, Matthew 18, verse 18. You may not have that one yet. That's kind of a wimpy sword, isn't it? That's a dagger. Yeah. You missed your sword when it isn't here, isn't it? You got it? Then he charges them in verse 20 not to tell anybody that he's the Christ. Well, isn't that what John was doing, proclaiming that he was the Christ? But they had already rejected him. He isn't going around trying to bring Israel to salvation anymore. He knows their only hope are these 12 men preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he laid it out. And their sins aren't forgiven because, bless God, they just gave the authority. He brought the authority to Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, to the 12 disciples to forgive sin. Are sins forgiven? No. Look at verse 21. And so now it's kind of set. From that time forth. That means there's a marker, guys. From that time forth. From that time forth. Going that way into time. You got it? From that time forth. Before then, they were proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. But from that time forth, He showed His disciples. Look what it says. From that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things and the elders. Was He trying to tell that to other people? No. From that time forth, He's keeping it a secret. He's not out there proclaiming, I'm going to die as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. He ain't out there proclaiming that anymore. He's training 12 men. You got it? And people make all kinds of mistakes out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but that's the dealy-willy. Look what he says. From that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Well, what are we talking about? He just talked to them about the what? The DBR. From that time forth, he's only talking to them, and he's trying to explain them the death, burial, and resurrection. His first lesson didn't go too well. 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, this shall not happen unto thee." Why? He's the king. How can we have the gospel of the kingdom if the king is dead? You got it? Peter's been listening. This is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the what? Living God. If he dies, our king will be dead. We won't let it happen to you. That's weird, isn't it? Peter's wanting to preach it. Peter's wanting to preach it.
Part to be raised again the third day.
Well, yeah, but you know, they don't want to take any chances. And look at what happens on the road to Emmaus. Go to Luke 24 before we read down. This stuff is so good. Anybody having a good time? Wade, you having a good time, brother?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Anybody having a bad time? For you that are having a rotten time, we have a yoo-hoo in the back, and it'll make your day turn great. Go to Luke 24. Y'all there? Don't get there too fast before me. You make me look bad. Well, I'm just trying to get in. I'm just going to kind of cut into the context. Verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how that he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands... Well, we just read that. Where would I mark that? I'd put Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. If I was a good Bible student. I'm tired. Y'all want to quit? All right, I'm going to keep going. I run you late. Mrs. Hampton's got to cook that cake all by herself. You should call your mother right now and say, "I've got to rescue Mrs. Hampton." I think you should.
Yeah, you ought to just cook it up there at her house.
No. A surprise party won't be a surprise if I don't have the surprise. Yes. Well, you can come down early in the morning and drop it off. Luke 24. Y'all there? Verse 6. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and raised again the third day. And they remembered his words. Well, it must not have been too impressive. It was like, oh yeah, he did say that. Well, if he was saying that over and over again, if that was the dilly-willy, the death, burial, and resurrection, as everybody I've ever heard try to preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the disciples didn't get it. You got it? They're a little bit... Oh, yeah, I do kind of remember. Well, where did he remember it from? Matthew 16, verse 21. You got it? That's when he told them. But watch this. Verse 13. And behold, two of them, the same day, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another, and as ye walk, and are sad? I'm sorry, someone just volunteered to cook the cake. That is local. Thank God. What? Am I crazy?
She wants a mom cake.
All right, I'm trying. I'm a little concerned because I know what the kitchen looked like when I left. And I knew who asked to clean it, and I'm very weak. You know, she cooks because she does want her mama's cake. She loves her mama. I love her mama, too. Now, verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? I could imagine Jesus doing that. What things? Boo. You know, I love that. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God. Now, what do they sound like? They sound like the people that, when he asked Peter, what do men say that I am? And he said, you're John the Baptist, Elijah, you know. I mean, they sound like they're almost in unbelievable. They really haven't got this thing down. This is at the end of his ministry. He's already resurrected. They haven't got it. Either Jesus was the lousiest teacher on planet Earth, or he had something else in mind. You see? I mean, people act like they got it. Nobody got it. Nobody. So people read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today, Matthew, Mark, I got it. No, you don't. You see the problem? That's a problem. Now watch. Verse 19 again. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests of our rulers delivered him up, delivered him to be confounded to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Isaiah 68, 69. Right? Huh? Isaiah 1. It wasn't Isaiah 1. It was Luke 1, 68 and 69. And Isaiah 53 is the reference. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also, our company, made us astonished when they were early at the sepulcher, and they found not his body. And they came and said they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. Well, why would they be sad walking on the road of Emmaus if they believed that? Hello? Class? You got it? That doesn't make sense. Guy, does that make sense to you? They're walking around sad and they believe that today is the third day and they're bummed out? What does that tell you? They didn't really believe it. They didn't have a clue. People are getting excited now. Verse 25. Then said he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone. They don't know who this guy is. Don't you get it? And he's going like, I'll see y'all later. I've got to keep going. See ya. You got it? And so they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward the evening and the day is far spent. They have no clue, guys. He shows up. He tells them the gospel. They still haven't got a clue. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes... Wow, isn't that amazing? That is the first time they get the death, burial, and resurrection. So how is it that everybody gets saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it ain't even till the end that the disciples get the death, burial, and resurrection? That's weird, isn't it? Wade, what do you think about that? That's weird. I've been to churches after churches and they preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What were you going to say?
They still didn't understand.
Oh, no, not at all. That isn't even in the picture. This is just the gospel of God and the gospel of the kingdom. Our gospel doesn't even show up until Acts chapter 9. And you really don't hear it until Acts chapter 13. But that death, burial, and resurrection isn't even understood by the disciples until after the resurrection. How about doubting Thomas? He had it figured out, didn't he? Yes.
In Acts chapter 2, the message was the resurrection.
The death, burial, and resurrection. That's right. The DBR. You by wicked hand has taken and crucified the Lord of glory, whom he now loosened. Got it? The resurrection. Why? The resurrection was the proof of the DBR. Which proved what? The gospel of God and that he is the king. You got it? We're running out of time. This is really good stuff, isn't it? I mean, I just don't understand how people go to... Huh? You want another hour? We're going to have to put a little more in the plate then. Okay? I don't mind preaching, but don't use me like a tool. What other people... Gene, there are no other people in my life. You're it, baby.
In Kentucky. It's Kentucky.
Those Kentucky people get more time with me than you?
No. We get 45 minutes on Sunday morning, another 45 minutes on Sunday morning, and an hour on Wednesday night. They only get an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. So.
I thought it was 2 hours on Monday.
Well, sometimes, but that's when I'm healthy.
Very rarely have I seen 2 hours. About an hour and a half is the most you've got.
Don't make it so adamant. You sound so...
I'm trying to defend you, sir.
Well, that's like, here, let me push you off the cliff and... Oh, oh no! Luke 24 is after the cross. And when they said, and their eyes were opened, right there is amazing. Even when they were eating fish... But John the Baptist and all that, what did Jesus have to tell them? Come. Touch me. It's me, Thomas. And the reason he did that is they were still... What do you think doubting means? I mean, what were these people doing? Doubting. They were all doubting. Exactly. The point that I'm trying to make is they weren't around going around proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't even get it. Yes.
Another reason could be that some religions do not believe in the body of the resurrection.
But, yeah, that's true. Of course, most Christians do, I think, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. There are some cults out there for sure. But don't you get what I'm trying to tell you? That during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if he's proclaiming a gospel, and the 12 men that he's tried to instruct don't get it, how did everyone else read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all of a sudden get it? And is that enough? Huh? Have I worn that point out? That was a good point. I was just trying to make it strong. And as Forrest Gump says, and that's all I've got to say about that. Okay? Gosh, guys, your gospel doesn't come in until Paul. And you know, if you don't get that, you're going to miss it. What is the gospel that Paul brought? He brought something very unique. Did he teach the death, burial, and resurrection?
Amen.
Yes, he did. And he taught it solidly that this is Jesus, the very Christ. Acts chapter... All right, you're going to make me go 10 minutes late, and somebody's really going to have to help with the cake then. Because I don't know about Brenda, but I wore out. Where was I going to take you? Probably really good. No, hang on. Yeah, Acts 9. Thank you. Acts 9. I want you to look down in verse 22. Acts 9, 22. Y'all there? But Saul, increasing the more in strength and confounded the Jews dwelling at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. What did he mean? He's the Son of the living God. He's proven that. Not until Acts chapter 13 do you hear a change in that teaching. What happened? Well, in Acts chapter 9, I believe he got it. I don't know that he necessarily proclaimed it, but in 13 he did. And that is where God enters the S factor. You have to teach the death, burial, and resurrection to make the gospel make sense. Amen? But now, the S factor, you've never seen that, Don, have you? The S factor. All right, this is it. The S factor is the fact that Christ died for sins and sin. All those sins was placed upon the Lord. How many?
All.
And so, how many sins do people have over here?
None.
They don't have any, whether they like it or not. We talked about sin and talked about sin and talked about sin with Christians. I read her some things that people read. They are so confused. Say, after we're saved, we've got to really deal with that sin issue. Sin is gone. Your sin will never, ever be brought up. If he does, he's a crook. He said that he died and forgave you of your sins. They're gone. That it's as if they never existed because he did it. It's done. But he couldn't let that known back over here. They would have never crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, 8, 9. So he kept it a secret and revealed it to the Apostle Paul. What did he reveal? Well, that the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. But he revealed a mystery, which was the S factor. And what was that? That Christ died for our sins. And that's the greatest news I know. And you know what you can't do? You can't get that out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So all the churches that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many went to a church that taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Those people are probably lost. They're lost. Going to hell. Lost. Boom. You want to get saved? You can't get saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't get saved by John 3:16. John 3:16 contains nothing about the yes factor. How could you believe in something you've never heard? Any more than go back to a place you've never been. Oh, I've never been to New York, but I'm going back to see it again. Oogala. I definitely could cuss at that one. You all understand? Gosh, the greatest news didn't come until the Apostle Paul. He wrote half the New Testament and everything in it. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they didn't have a clue. Doubting Thomas. What part of Doubting Thomas do you don't get? It's almost frustrating to me that people can't get it. You know why they can't get it? They don't want to get it. Amen. Now, I'm going to cut out. I've preached an extra 10 minutes. That'll be worth $20 or something, right? I want to tell you to pray for a friend of mine, Bill King. He supports this ministry, him and his wife, financially. They live in Elba. They've been to the church one time. They watch us via the internet. They are as close to me as any of y'all in this room. And I just found out that Bill, at 73, found out he had prostate cancer. And I want you to think of something special you could do for that sweet couple down in Elba that never sees all the work that goes on here, but is so incredibly blessed by this ministry. And they're dear friends of mine. So I want you to think of doing something special. We'll have their address up, and you just want to drop them a note of encouragement. I bet they would appreciate that from you. If you're on Facebook, you can get on my Facebook and join them as friends and tell them we're praying for you. But they've meant the world to me. They've helped support. They put in quite a bit of money for the TriCaster. By the way, we hopefully will have that. It's tight. I'm telling you what, man. It's tight, but you know we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do and see if the Lord blesses it. We're going for it. But I can tell you that there's a lot of people watching this broadcast right now because of your money and your time and your energy and all the work that you do are blessed by this ministry. And it isn't me they tuned in to see, because they couldn't tune in to see me without Wayne and Christy and Deborah and the guys and Renee back in the back in the control room. And everybody that helps in this ministry financially. Had a guy come by and clean the sidewalk. Didn't they look good today? You know, and you know, things are happening and I really appreciate it. But it's everybody, even the people on the internet that supports our ministry. And that ministry comes into the coffers to help pay the bills. So we can further the gospel. And I appreciate it. Right now, I just want you to think about Bill King for just this week and have him on your mind. Drop him a little note and tell him how much you love him. And if you don't have their address, we'll get it to you. But they're fantastic people. And he was kind of shocked when it happened, but you know what? He wrote me a great note, made me fantastic. He said, if I died tonight, it'd be okay. Gosh, isn't that the greatest feeling in the world? Honestly, lay down and say, whatever happens, it doesn't matter to me. I've got a Savior.